One of Wisconsin's most famous athletes was a barnstorming wrestler from Nakusa named Ed Strangler Lewis. In the 1920s, Lewis became an unbeatable champion and a national celebrity. On the road for over 30 years, Strangler Lewis wrestled in over 6,000 matches, and during his long career was a key player in pro wrestling's change from a sport to a spectacle. At the International Wrestling Institute and Museum in Newton, Iowa, wrestling historian Mike Chapman has pieced together artifacts that tell the history of the sport, including a special room devoted to the early days of professional wrestling. He's reserved one corner for Ed Strangler Lewis, including one of Lewis's headlock machines. The spring-loaded head carved from wood was a crowd-pleaser and became one of Strangler Lewis's trademarks. He squeezed it to practice his signature hold, a crushing and inescapable headlock that helped him wrestle his way into sports history.
According to almost everybody I've talked to, there's only two people who are considered the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. It's Frank Gotch of Humboldt, Iowa, and Ed Lewis.
Lewis was born Robert Friedrich in 1890. A tremendously strong and gifted athlete, he was influenced by other champion wrestlers from Wisconsin, including Evan Strangler Lewis from Madison, who was the original Strangler Lewis. And in one of his first professional bouts, he was soundly beaten by Marshfield's Fred Beal, a wrestling veteran who had once beaten the national champion, Frank Gotch. But it was Gotch who inspired Lewis the most in his wrestling career.
After watching Frank Gotch draw 33,000 people in 1911 to Comiskey Park for a wrestling match, which at that time was
a huge, it was an incredible event.
It was the largest crowd ever to see an athletic event in America other than a horse race. And I think Ed Lewis wanted to pattern himself after Frank Gotch, saying, this is what a Midwestern farm kid can do. I'm good. I can rule the roost here for 15, 20 years, make a lot of money, travel the world, travel the United States, and have a lot of fun. And also become a sports icon, and that's exactly what he became.
But to get there, what's the travel like? What's the schedule like for a guy like that?
It's a tough life. It's a very tough life. I saw an estimate that there were like 2,000 wrestlers in America in Ed Lewis's day. And they were crisscrossing the nation and showing up in towns of 60, 80, 200 people, wrestling in Saturday afternoons, impromptu matches. A lot of them were real matches. They'd come to a local community and they'd say, hey, you're pretty good, huh? Well, we got a kid right down the street that can whip you. And the whole town would show up to watch the match. And Ed learned the hard knocks that way. I'm sure he won a lot more than he lost, but I'm sure he lost a lot in those days, too. These guys were warriors of a bygone era. And Ed Lewis is the epitome, the personification of that kind of athlete. I mean, Ed Lewis was just a tough human being.
Lewis combined his physical skills with a deep knowledge of the sport and wrote a series of books about the various holds and wrestling moves.
A lot of the wrestlers in that era weren't interested in pinning somebody. They were interested in making him say uncle. And there were probably 20 or 30 joint locks that they could throw on it.
Well, show me one.
Well, here's one. Take the arm like that, and it always is how you go against the joint.
But it's a sport. At that time, it's really a sport, right?
It was a 90% true sport. It wouldn't be in Ed Lewis's best interest to go out and flop the guy in a minute and a half and have the spectators go home disappointed, say, I came to see Ed Lewis, and I saw a minute and a half. So Ed was so good that Ed could make those kind of decisions as he got in the ring and make a match out of it for 15 or 20 minutes.
But then he'd get you in his headlock.
Sure. Well, the headlock was one of his big moves. There's several ways to do the headlock. One's here and across the neck and then into the jaw. That's called a jaw lock. Another one is to get the arm in
it. Like a bar arm.
Yeah, you see this in amateur wrestling. This is legal in amateur wrestling. I can try to throw you with this because I've got the arm and I can't choke. But in the early days of pro wrestling, this is how Ed Lewis did it.
The Strangler won the heavyweight championship belt in 1920 and toured constantly, once claiming there wasn't a town of more than 5,000 population in which he hadn't appeared. He wrestled for purses large and small, and often returned to Nakusa to visit his family and put on wrestling exhibitions.
For a 10-year period, there wasn't a wrestler in America that could last with Ed Lewis. For a 10-year period, maybe 15, Ed Lewis ruled supreme. He hobnobbed with all the great celebrities of his day, Jack Dempsey, Babe Ruth, Douglas Fairbanks, the movie actor. Everybody who was anybody knew who Ed Strangler Lewis was, and they all enjoyed being in his company because he was gregarious, outgoing, charming, and fun to be with.
Ironically, Lewis's domination of the sport began to take a toll on his popularity. With little chance of defeat, crowds began to dwindle, turning instead to baseball, football, and boxing for their sports entertainment. According to legend, promoters convinced Lewis to inject some excitement into the sport by losing his championship belt to a popular Nebraska football star named Wayne Big Munn, who hurled Lewis from the ring. The match marked the beginning of the end for traditional professional wrestling.
When you look at the history of wrestling, it's really hard to understand exactly how it changed from a true athletic contest into more of a theatrical event.
So with Strangler, you're beginning to get a changeover.
I think you can make the case that Ed Strangler Lewis is the pivotal character in the history of wrestling's transition. He helped introduce the showmanship into wrestling. And with no regrets, I would say.